I'm Anita, I'll introduce myself properly. And I've been a volunteer at Sahir House for about 4 years. It's gone really fast. I definitely know your name, and I think I've seen photos. So, I've just got involved with this project. I do more research things for Sahir House because
okay.
I find it interesting.
So what was your background?
My background was, believe it or not, I was a civil servant, office work and things like that. And then I qualified as a midwife.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't like it. NHS, looking at your T-shirt then. And so I left and then saw this advertised. And
yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's health related, yeah. That's interesting, so.
Would you not go and do other things relating to health, or?
I think I've applied for things, but I look at the NHS jobs website quite a lot, but
yeah,
I've never got very far with it. So I am working part time now.
Oh, right. But.
Sort of,
and is that as a midwife, or?
No, as a marriage registrar.
Oh, right.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but I get to work with people.
Like So where do you do the registrar bit?
Chorley.
Oh, right.
Chorley. So, I'm out in Woollybatland now. Anyway, over to you. We normally go through a set of standard questions.
Okay.
The first one is your name. And what is your job title?
My job title is a clinical nurse specialist in HIV. And I'm a community-based clinical nurse specialist in HIV. So I'm actually, as well as being a registered nurse, I'm a qualified district nurse as well, who specialises in HIV. So it's purely a community-based job.
Right, okay. And when did you qualify as a nurse?
In 1979,
right.
A million years ago.
You've seen some things, haven't you? And what was your first job?
My first job was a staff nurse on a medical ward on nights at Broad Green. So it was basically people with like heart problems, gastric problems, strokes, all the things that tend to be managed by medication, really. So I did that for a year. And then at that time there was loads of job vacancies in NHS, so it was quite, people tended to get promoted quite early.
Right.
So it was a ward manager when I was 24.
Right. Golly.
So that was on a regional vascular unit and a urology ward. And then I became a district nurse in 88. And that was, I worked as a district nurse in South Liverpool.
Right.
And then specialised in HIV from 95 to the present day.
Right. So it has become a big part of your life.
Yeah. So it really does define who I am, I guess.
Yeah. So you were nursing in the late 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your first memory of HIV?
My first memory of HIV was, it was 1983 or 84, and I was on holiday in Mallorca with somebody. We were drinking in a bar, and it was a gay bar. And there'd been a few things on the news about unknown, undiagnosed illnesses popping up in different places associated with gay men. And then the owner of the bar in Palma in Mallorca said that they'd emptied a ward of all the beds in a hospital in Barcelona, and they were just making it a ward for gay men with this new disease.
Right.
And that sort of made me think there's something really massive going on, something that ultimately is going to be a global problem. And of course it already was, but we didn't realise it at the time.
So it's interesting you found out abroad.
Yeah.
That the headlines
yeah.
in the papers. And
yeah, yeah.
Going. So, you obviously had quite a career in nursing before. So when did they begin to recognise it in England and set up a team?
I remember I was a charge nurse on a surgical ward, and I guess it was about 1983, and it was a general ward for surgery, and excuse me, and there was a gay man admitted to the ward, and he was very wasted, had obviously lost most of his body weight, and
mm-hmm.
was very unwell, and looked almost Holocaust-like. And I can remember talking to the registrar and saying, you know, what do you think's the matter? Because the man just had like the most horrendous diarrhea and thrush in his mouth and sight problems and was clearly dying. And he said, we're not sure, but we think it's this new thing, AIDS. And that sort of wasn't that long after I'd been on holiday in Mallorca and heard that story in the bar. So it sort of really paved the way that something really was going to happen that was going to be, you know, a global problem.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Saw it firsthand, really. Then,
yeah, 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 yeah.
And so when did they begin to think, we need specialist wards in this country? When did that begin?
I think the first, I can remember not long after that, maybe a year, maybe perhaps, I know that there was a specialist ward created in London. I remember seeing a programme with Terry Wogan on TV, and the sister of this ward was on TV talking about how they cared for all these patients with AIDS on the ward that everybody treated, you know, with absolute horror and disgust because they had this, you know, gay plague. And it was about her, I guess, giving across a message of compassion, really, and the need to be supportive in contrast to what the media was saying, really, particularly the tabloids, did a fantastic job of pushing forward homophobia.
Didn't they? So that was probably quite a good message, even though, you know.
Absolutely, because I guess in some way the stigma at that time made gay men, I guess, show a united front. And all of the support agencies that are around today, the big national and some of them multinational charities for HIV, were originally started by gay men for them to support each other. So I guess gay men provided almost a platform to shape things for the future, really.
Yeah, definitely. So when was the team created, or when in Merseyside did
okay.
it start?
Our district nursing team, so it's a team that's covers Liverpool as a geographical area. It's an NHS service. It's we're employed by Liverpool Community Health, and there are four nurses in the team. There originally was only one nurse in the team, Pauline Gellerman. She's the operational lead, and she set the service up in 1993, literally with the phone and the desk. And then I joined in 95. And at that time, there was no treatment available. And maybe towards the end of 95, we started to use AZT and other things, you know, by the bucketful on people. And then I guess we were a bit like Macmillan nurses, and we were helping people to die of AIDS at home in the way that they wanted. So ultimately, the aim was to provide people with a comfortable death at home once they've been discharged from hospital, and supporting the relatives and trying to reduce the stigma and making sure that people died with dignity and were treated in a dignified way after they died by the funeral director. And so that in itself was a challenge, because there was all this stigma around people with HIV. Their body shouldn't be viewed after they've died. They should be in body bags, in a sealed coffin, not kissed or viewed, not embalmed.